Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Tusind tak, fordi I har inviteret mig.
And I have been so full of excitement today.
Jeg har været så spændt i dag.
This is the first time I'm speaking to a group who already loves Israel.
Det er faktisk første gang, jeg skal tale til en gruppe, som allerede elsker Israel.
I'm really blessed.
Og det er meget velsignet over.
And when Annie said that we should speak in tongues for 5 minutes.
Da Annie sagde, at vi skulle tale i tunger i 5 minutter.
And she said 5 minutes is a long time.
Og hun sagde, at 5 minutter er lang tid.
I thought to myself, they should come to Lukaskia Bilhus. We start the day with 45 minutes of praying in tongues.
Så skulle de komme til
Lukaskia Bilhus.
Lykkeskær Bedehus, der taler vi tunger i 45 minutter.
Yeah, we start every morning from 9 to 9:45. All of us, we only speak in tongues. It is so fantastic.
Hver dag, så fra klokken 9 til 9:45, så beder vi i tunger.
It kind of sets the tone for the day.
Det sætter ligesom tonen for dagen.
Because speaking in tongues does so many things for us.
Fordi det at tale i tunger, det gør rigtig mange ting for os.
And one of the things is it bubbles up that river of life that Jesus talked about.
Og en af de ting, som den gør, det er, at den får den der flod, som Jesus taler om, til at boble op i os.
I forgot to do something, so please excuse me. I have to record this. So.
Jeg skal lige have det her optaget. Det glemte jeg lige.
And I am tech challenged, so I have to find the recording where to record it. Please hold. Please have patience.
I saw it.
Yeah, there. You can tell I don't use my phone for these things. I've called this topic Guds Israel, Guds Kirke.
Jeg har kaldt mit emne Guds Israel, Guds Kirke.
God's Israel.
Guds Israel.
God's church.
Og Guds kirke.
Now, it can be misunderstood as a replacement theology.
Det kan nogle gange er der nogen der misforstår det med den der erstatningsteologi.
But I'm going to take you through a journey this evening.
Men jeg vil føre jer igennem en rejse her i aften.
And I will begin by introducing myself, my family.
Og jeg vil begynde med at præsentere mig selv og min familie.
You all know I'm married to Ove.
I ved, at jeg er gift med Ove herovre.
I'll tell you the story in a little while.
Og om lidt, så skal jeg fortælle historien om det.
But I have a big family in India.
Men
I come from India.
Jeg kommer fra Indien, og der har jeg en stor familie.
And yeah. My son is married to Ekta. My son's name is Joash.
Min søn hedder Joash.
And he's married to Ekta.
Og han er gift med Ekta.
And my daughter is married to Anthony.
Og min datter er gift med Anthony.
I have 4 children in India.
Jeg har 4 børn i Indien.
And I've been in Denmark for 5 years and I really miss them.
Og jeg har været i Danmark i 5 år, og jeg savner dem virkelig.
And now I have a grandson.
Og nu har jeg også et barnebarn.
His name is Zane.
Han hedder Zane.
And he's 2 and a few months.
Og han er 2 år og nogle måneder.
But he talks like a 6-year-old.
Men han snakker som en 6-årig.
And my daughter just told me today that yesterday he was sitting in his bed and he said, "The Holy Spirit is God."
Og i går sagde min datter til mig, at han sad på sin seng og så sagde, "Helligånden er Gud."
And the first call that we have every morning, I sing to him.
Og når vi snakker sammen om morgenen, så synger jeg for ham.
And he knows to spell B-I-B-L-E, Bible, and he knows to spell J-E-S-U-S, Jesus.
Og han kan stave til Bibel og til Jesus.
And he was only 2 years old in February.
Og han blev kun 2 år gammel her i februar.
He is such a treasure. I can talk to him about him till 9 o'clock, but I won't do
jeg
that.
Kan snakke med ham om en time, men det skal jeg være med.
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about myself.
Lad mig fortælle lidt om mig selv.
When I came to Denmark, I didn't know what I was going to do.
Da jeg kom til Danmark, så vidste jeg ikke, hvad jeg skulle gøre.
So I formed a company called Transform 360.
Så jeg startede en organisation, der hed Transform 360.
A consultancy, not an organization.
Okay. En
consultant.
Konsulentfirma.
Yeah, even consultant here. Yeah. Because I was a consultant and a trainer in India. That was my job before I came here.
For før jeg kom hertil, så var jeg en konsulent og underviser i Indien.
But 2 years ago, the Lord told me that I must serve him full-time in Denmark.
Men for nogle år siden, så sagde Gud til mig, at jeg skulle komme til at tjene ham på fuld tid i Danmark.
And live by faith.
Og leve i tro.
And trust him.
Og stole på ham.
To provide for me.
At han ville give mig, hvad jeg havde brug for.
I said, but the Danish government wants me to earn so much of money every year, so that I can stay here.
Men jeg sagde, Gud, den danske regering vil jo have, at jeg skal tjene så mange penge, så jeg kan lovligt være her.
And the Lord told me very clearly in my heart, I brought you here and nobody can send you away.
Men Herren sagde, jeg talte klart til mig i mit hjerte og sagde, jeg har ført dig hertil.
God told me to return to my calling of serving him full time, which I did in India for 23 years.
Og Gud sagde, at jeg skulle vende tilbage til at tjene ham på fuld tid, som jeg har gjort i Indien i 23 år.
And my vision is the vision that Ezra had.
Og min vision var den vision, som Ezra havde.
To study and obey and teach the word of God to God's people.
At studere og undervise Guds folk.
So, let me tell you about my journey to Israel.
Lad mig fortælle jer lidt om min rejse til Israel.
For many years I wanted to go to Israel, but I couldn't afford it and there was not the opportunity.
I mange år havde jeg lyst til at rejse til Israel, men jeg havde ikke råd til det, og der var ikke mulighed og lejlighed til det.
But in 2016 I went there for the Feast of Tabernacles.
Men i 2016 tog jeg til løvhyttefest.
And I was there for 10 days.
Jeg var der i 10 dage.
And while I was there there was also a Danish group.
Og mens jeg var der, var der også en dansk gruppe.
About 10 or 12 group, big group.
En stor gruppe på en 10-12 stykker.
But whenever I saw them, they were just talking to each other in Danish.
Men når jeg var sammen med dem, så snakkede de dansk med hinanden.
So I thought they don't know English.
Så jeg tænkte, de forstår ikke engelsk.
There were a few of them in the little group that I was leading.
That I was leading. Der var nogle få i den gruppe, som jeg ledte.
We had 300 volunteers.
Vi havde 300 frivillige,
divided into groups,
som var
groups,
delt i små grupper og mindre grupper.
I was leading one of the small groups.
Og jeg ledte en af de
so
små grupper.
With one of the Danish ladies there.
Så jeg blev venner med en af de danske kvinder.
And Ove was a part of the Danish group.
Og Ove var en del af den her danske gruppe.
And we didn't talk to each other throughout the whole 10 days.
Og i løbet af de 10 dage, der snakkede vi slet ikke med hinanden.
Because we were busy with our volunteering work.
For vi havde travlt med vores frivillige arbejde.
But on the last day, we were having a Thanksgiving dinner.
Men den sidste dag havde vi sådan en taksigelses fest.
I saw Ove standing in the garden and it looked like he looked very lost.
Og så Ove stå i haven, og han så sådan lidt fortabt ud.
And we had circular tables with 8 people at a table, and there was one seat empty at our table.
Vi havde nogle runde borde, hvor der var plads til 8, og der var en ledig stol ved vores bord.
And I went to him, and because he was one of the volunteers and he was part of the ushering group, so I went to him and said.
Og jeg gik hen til ham, fordi han var en af de, han var en del af værterne, og jeg gik hen til ham og sagde.
I said, if you don't have place to sit, we have one place at our table. You're welcome to join us.
Du er velkommen til at komme hen til os, hvis ikke du har et sted at sidde.
Now he insists that I said something else.
Han mener bestemt, jeg sagde noget andet til ham.
He said I came to him and said, may I have your email address?
Han mener, jeg sagde, må jeg gerne bede om din e-mailadresse?
I don't know how he heard that.
Jeg ved ikke, hvordan han kan have hørt det.
Anyway, for him it was a big sign that I came and spoke to him first.
Men for ham var det et stort tegn, at jeg kom hen til ham og talte først med ham.
Because he had lost his wife couple of years ago and he had prayed and said, God, if you want me to have a wife for the rest of my life.
Fordi hans kone var død et par år i forvejen, og da han bedt og sagt, Gud, hvis du vil, at jeg skal have en kone igen.
She must be a Christian and you must send her to me.
Så må hun være kristen, og du må sende hende til mig.
So when I came to him and started talking.
Så da de gik hen til ham og begyndte at tale.
It was a sign for him that I was the person.
Så var det et tegn for ham.
He will not admit it, but he did like me before that.
Han ville ikke indrømme det, men han havde fået lidt et godt øje til mig.
Okay, so I went home.
Så jeg tog hjem.
Around the dinner table, we exchanged our visit cards.
Og ved middagsbordet, så udvekslede vi vores visitkort.
And after I went home after a few days, I got an email from him, just a very casual email.
Og da vi kom hjem, så fik jeg sådan bare en helt almindelig hilsen fra ham på mail.
And I replied, just a very casual email.
Og jeg svarede bare sådan på den helt almindelige mail.
And in two or three, two, in his second or third email, he told me about his whole life.
Og i den anden eller tredje mail, der fortalte han mig hele sit liv.
And then he, at the end he says, I'm sorry, I have told you all this. I hope it's okay with you.
Og så sagde han, ja, undskyld, jeg fortæller dig alt det her. Jeg håber, det er okay for dig.
So I said, you know, I didn't die for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. Sagde, so it's okay with me.
Det var ikke mig, der døde for dine synder, så det er okay for mig.
Finally, the next email, he asked me to marry him.
I den næste e-mail, der friede han til mig.
And I was very shocked.
Og jeg blev chokeret.
I said, no way.
Jeg sagde, nej.
I was a widow from 2010, and I was a very contented widow.
Jeg havde været enke siden 2010, og jeg var meget tilfreds med mit liv.
Jesus filled up every corner of my life.
Jesus fyldte alt i mit liv.
I had ministry, teaching around and preaching the gospel.
Jeg havde en tjeneste, hvor jeg underviste og forkyndte ordet.
I also had a fantastic job.
Jeg havde også et fantastisk arbejde.
I worked for 3 days in the month and I got money for 45 days.
Jeg arbejdede 3 dage om ugen, og jeg fik penge for 45 dage.
Tre dage om måneden. I had a lot of money.
Så jeg havde mange penge.
And I had Jesus like in every cell of me.
Og jeg havde Jesus i hver en celle i min krop.
No, I don't need a man.
Og jeg sagde, nej, jeg har ikke brug for en mand.
He told me, but God sent you to me, and God told me that you will marry me.
Og så sagde han, jamen Gud har sendt dig til mig, og han har sagt til mig, at du vil godt gifte dig med mig.
I said, if God told you, he better tell me.
Men hvis Gud har sagt det til mig, så må han altså også sige det til mig.
And I don't even want to hear God telling me.
Og jeg vil slet ikke høre, at Gud siger det til mig.
But after 3 weeks, we were talking on the phone and writing emails. I also tried to make a match with him and one of the ladies from Denmark.
Og vi snakkede sammen på telefon og mail i en 3 ugers tid, og i løbet af den tid, der forsøgte jeg ham at... Der forsøgte jeg at koble ham sammen med en anden kvinde fra gruppen.
Yeah. So he said, no, God didn't show me her. God showed me you.
Nej, sagde han. Gud har ikke vist mig hende. Gud har vist mig dig.
I told him I'll be your friend till you find a wife, but I'm not that wife you're looking for.
Jeg sagde, men jeg vil godt være din ven indtil du finder en kone, men jeg bliver ikke din kone.
I tried my best.
Jeg gjorde hvad jeg kunne.
And after 3 weeks.
Og efter 3 uger.
I said, Lord, I don't want to keep this man hoping.
Så sagde jeg, herre, jeg har ikke lyst til, at han skal blive ved med at håbe.
You know I don't want to get married.
Du ved, at jeg ikke har lyst til at blive gift.
But I do want your perfect will in my life.
Men jeg vil gerne have din fuldkomne vilje i mit liv.
And that night I prayed a prayer that I had taught my children to pray when they were little.
Og den aften, der bad jeg en bøn, som jeg havde lært mine børn at bede, da de var børn.
I used to tell my children, if you're too busy to listen to Jesus in the daytime, he will talk to you in the nighttime because your spirit is always awake.
Og jeg havde sagt til dem, hvis I har for travlt til at tale med Gud om aftenen, så vil han tale til jer, når I sover.
So I said, Lord, you know I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you in the daytime.
Herre, jeg lytter ikke til dig om dagen.
But I'm going to keep my spirit open to you tonight.
Men jeg vil holde min ånd åben over for dig i aften.
Would you show me your will for this relationship?
Vil du vise mig din vilje angående det her forhold?
Otherwise, I'm going to stop writing to this man.
Ellers så holder jeg helt op med at skrive til den mand.
And that night,
den aften,
I had a kind of dream.
Der havde jeg en drøm, en slags drøm.
I saw a white sheet of paper.
Jeg så et hvidt stykke papir.
And on that paper, this is what I saw.
Og på det stykke papir, der så jeg, at der stod det her.
I saw par and over.
Ja, der stod par, og så ud for det, Ove.
Over his name. Ja. And then wife and my name.
Og så kone, eller hustru, og så mit navn.
And this was, I didn't know it was Danish, but this was English, and this, I didn't know what it was.
Jeg vidste ikke, hvad PAR det betød. Det er jo dansk, og betyder par.
That's not an English word.
Det er ikke et engelsk ord, det der her.
By itself, it's not an English word. What does it mean?
Herre, hvad betyder det ord?
I've never heard or seen Danish in my life.
Jeg havde ikke set dansk nogensinde.
So I went to Google Translate.
Så jeg gik til Google Translate.
And I put par.
Og jeg satte par.
And it said couple or pair.
Og så stod der så... et par, altså på engelsk.
I was a little afraid.
Så blev jeg lidt nervøs.
I knew this was God.
Så vidste jeg, at det her, det måtte være Gud. Og jeg ville ikke.
That's
ville
why
ikke.
He spoke to me in Danish.
Det var derfor, han talte til mig på dansk.
If it was English, I would not have taken it seriously.
Hvis han havde skrevet det på engelsk, så ville jeg ikke have grave ting
dybere. After 2 days, I was in church.
Efter 2 dage, så var jeg i kirke.
And the pastor was preaching about Abraham.
Og præsten talte om Abraham.
And he said, God told Abraham, sagde, pack your suitcase.
Abraham, pak dine kufferter.
Forlad din familie, forlad dit land, og rejse til et land som en langbæk, som du kender ingenting om.
Yeah.
Og så, I was busy taking notes.
Jeg sad og tog notater.
So the next sentence he said was.
Og næste sætning han sagde det var.
Det er ligesom som Gud siger til nogen i Indien. Pak din kuffert, forlad din familie, dit land og rejse til en land som en langbæk. Okay. And I was very afraid.
Så blev jeg rigtig bange.
I came home and I told my daughter.
Jeg sagde til min datter.
And when I told her that, she had a big smile on her face.
Og jeg sagde det til hende, så havde hun et stort smil på ansigtet.
I said, smiling about? I'm so afraid.
Hvorfor smiler du? Jeg er rædselsslagen.
And she kind of confessed to me very quietly.
Og så stille og roligt så sagde hun noget til mig.
She said, "Mom, actually, when you went to Israel, my husband and I, we prayed for you."
Mor, dengang du rejste til Israel, så bad min mand og jeg for dig.
And we said, "God, mommy loves Israel."
Jeg sagde, Gud, mor elsker Israel.
When she goes to Israel, may she meet a man who loves Israel.
Vil du gøre det sådan, at når hun kommer til Israel, så møder hun en mand, som elsker Israel?
And may he ask her to marry him.
Og vil du gøre det sådan, at han frier til hende?
So I couldn't say anything more.
Så kunne jeg ikke sige mere.
So I married this man.
Så jeg giftede mig med den her mand.
When I was in Israel, I bought a little ring which says, "I am my beloved's and he is mine."
Da jeg var i Israel, så købte jeg en ring, hvor der stod, "Jeg er min elskede, og min elskede er min."
And I bought it home in a little box.
Jeg tog den med hjem i en lille æske.
And I said, "Jesus, in June I will be 60 years old."
Og så her, Jesus, i juni, så bliver jeg 60 år gammel.
I'm going to put this ring on my finger, and then it's you and me for the rest of my life.
Og så tager jeg den her ring på min finger, og så er det du og mig for altid.
So Ove was quicker than Jesus.
Men Ove var hurtigere end Jesus.
And we got married on the 27th of May.
Og vi blev gift den 27. maj.
We've just celebrated 5 years.
Vi har lige fejret 5 år.
So that's how I came to Denmark.
Så det var måden jeg kom til Danmark på.
And when I went to Israel the first time, I just went because I wanted to see the place where Jesus was born.
Da jeg kom til Israel første gang, så var det fordi jeg ville gerne se de steder hvor Jesus var født.
I knew that people made a lot of money on the tourists who came there.
Jeg vidste godt at man tjente mange penge på turiststederne.
When we were in this conference, there were all the people there, they really loved Israel.
Og da vi var i konferencen der, så var der jo rigtig mange, som elskede Israel.
For me, the only love for Israel was I wanted to go to the place where Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives.
For mig så var det vigtigste, det var at komme hen til Oliebjerget, hvor Jesus havde bedt.
I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know much about what the Bible said about Israel.
Jeg vidste ikke så meget om, hvad Bibelen sagde om Israel.
But in these 10 days, I heard a lot.
Men i løbet af de her 10 dage, så hørte jeg mange ting.
About Israel.
Om Israel.
So I came home with this question.
Så jeg kom hjem med det her spørgsmål.
Why Israel?
Hvorfor Israel?
What is great about Israel?
Hvad er så stort ved Israel?
Why did God choose Israel?
Hvorfor valgte Gud Israel?
Though I heard a lot in the conference.
Selvom jeg hørte mange ting under konferencen.
I didn't really get this answer to this question.
Så fik jeg ikke rigtigt et svar på det her spørgsmål.
And I asked many people, even up to today, I have asked many people, what is special about Israel? Why do you think Israel is special?
Og jeg har spurgt mange mennesker, hvorfor synes I at Israel er så speciel?
But I have not got a real proper answer.
Men jeg har ikke fået et virkelig godt svar.
I have heard, yeah, they're God's people and the Bible talks about them. I've heard many things.
Jeg har hørt
which are true.
Jeg har hørt mange ting om at de er Guds folk, og det er også sandt.
But I wanted something really concrete.
Men jeg ville have noget mere konkret.
You know, I believe that faith is not in the air.
Jeg tror ikke på at tro det er sådan noget der svæver i luften.
Faith is a very logical thing.
Tro det er noget meget logisk.
You can reason faith out.
Man kan ligesom tænke troen. Man kan bruge sin logiske forstand og så tænke troen væk.
The other day I asked somebody, what is faith?
Den anden dag så spurgte jeg en, hvad er tro?
And they gave me the definition. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, what you hope for.
Og igen med den her definition af tro, at det er det, som man håber på, det som man ikke ser.
But they was not able to give me something concrete.
Men de var ikke i stand til at give mig noget meget specifikt.
And so we had a long talk. There were four of us, and then I gave them something really concrete.
Og så vi snakkede.
Describe faith.
Vi snakkede længe, og til sidst så gav jeg dem noget specifikt, som forklarede hvad tro
and
er.
And me being a logical, analytical person who is also a teacher, I like things to hang together properly.
Jeg er logisk tænkende menneske, så jeg kan godt lide at tingene hænger godt sammen.
I like things to make sense.
Jeg kan godt lide at tingene giver god mening.
I don't believe in blind faith.
Jeg tror ikke på den der blinde tro.
God does not tell us to have blind faith.
Gud siger ikke til os, at vi skal have en blind tro.
I can see some of you quite surprised.
Jeg kan se, at nogle af jer ser lidt forbavset ud.
We can have another teaching on that.
Det kan vi snakke om en anden gang.
In 1 Peter 3:15, it very clearly says that we must always have an answer to give a reason for the hope that we have in us.
I 1. Peter 3:15 står der, at vi altid skal være rede til forsvar over for enhver, der kræver jer til regnskab for det.
I like the word forsvar, defense.
Jeg kan godt lide det ord forsvar.
What is a defense?
Hvad er et forsvar?
It's not just an answer.
Det er ikke bare et svar.
It's an answer that keeps the other person out.
Det er et svar, som holder den modparten ude.
It's an answer that is stronger than what comes to you.
Det er et svar, som er stærkere end det, som kommer imod dig.
It's an answer that protects you.
Det er et svar, som beskytter dig.
It's an answer that sends the other person away.
Det er et svar, som sender den anden væk.
I love that word, the way it says you must have a defense for what you believe in.
Jeg elsker, at der står, at vi skal have et forsvar over for det, som vi tror på.
And so this, I'm going to take you to a story.
Jeg vil gerne fortælle en historie.
Why Israel?
Hvorfor Israel?
And we will come to know why God chose Israel from the word of God.
Og ud fra Guds ord, så vil vi se på hvorfor Israel.
It began with God's eternal purpose of salvation, this lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Det begynder med Guds evige plan til frelse og det der lam som før verdens grundvold eller var bestemt til at dø.
Jesus, the Lamb, who was slain before the foundation of the world, now had to come into the world.
Det lam, som var før verdens blev grundlagt, var bestemt til at dø, kom så ind i verden.
So God began to prepare the world for his son Jesus to come in.
Og Gud begyndte at forberede verden til, at Jesus, hans søn, kunne komme ind.
That's where it began.
Sådan begyndte det.
Before the foundation of the world, God's idea, God's thought began there.
Guds tanke begyndte før verdens grundvold.
Then he found a man called Abraham.
Så fandt han en mand ved navn Abraham.
We read about him in Genesis chapter 12.
Vi læser om ham i 1. Mosebog 12.
He was an ordinary man.
Han var en almindelig mand.
He was just an idol worshipper from Mesopotamia.
Han var en afgudsdyrker fra Mesopotamien.
He was like everybody else.
Han var ligesom alle andre.
But
men,
he and his wife were so old.
Han og hans kone var gamle.
If they had a baby, it had to be a miracle.
Så gamle, at hvis de fik et barn, så måtte det være et mirakel.
They were so old, their bodies were dead to reproduce.
De var så gamle, så deres kroppe ikke længere kunne avle børn.
And God called this man.
Og Gud kaldte på den mand.
And he began by telling him, I'm going to give you, I'm going to take you to a land.
Han begyndte med at sige til ham, jeg vil føre dig til et land.
He was already preparing a place for that lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. He was going to prepare a place for his son to come.
Gud var allerede i gang med at forberede et land og et sted, hvor det lam skulle fødes.
It's beautiful in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4 we read, and so Abraham, he obeyed God.
Og i 1. Mosebog 12:4 der læser vi, at Abraham adlød Gud.
I'm not going to go to this in detail because you are a seasoned Israel group. That's what Annie told me.
Jeg vil ikke gå i detaljer med det her, fordi jeg ved, at I er nogen, som kender godt til Israels ny.
I asked her, should I be basic or should I be deep?
Jeg spurgte Annie, om jeg skulle være sådan meget grundlæggende, eller jeg skulle være dyb.
She said, don't be basic. They know a lot about Israel.
De ved meget om Israel, så du skal ikke tage det grundlæggende.
So I'm not going to read and go into details. There's a lot of detail there, but there's one thing to remember.
Men
Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead in the area of reproduction.
Men Abraham og Sarah, de kunne ikke få børn.
And therefore God said, this is the couple I'm going to pick.
Og derfor sagde Gud,
this child is going to be a miracle.
Derfor vil jeg tage disse to, fordi det her barn skal være et mirakel.
Then God continued that story of Israel with Isaac. He told Isaac, if you compare the two scriptures from Genesis 28 and Genesis 12, it's almost identical. He repeats to Isaac what he told Abraham.
Gud gentog over for Isaac historien, som han har fortalt til Abraham.
And he told him, I'll give you all these lands, and through your seed, all the nations will be blessed.
Og han sagde til ham, igennem dig vil jeg velsigne alle verdens folkeslag.
So he chose the land,
så han valgte lammet,
and he began to form a people.
Og han begyndte at forme et folk.
With an aim to bless every nation.
Med det formål at velsigne et hvert folk i verden.
Then he endorsed this story again with Jacob.
Og så gentog han historien over for Jakob.
And he talked again about the land. He talked again about the seed being blessed.
Og han talte igen om landet og den sæd, som vil blive velsignet.
It's so beautiful. He said, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.
Og han sagde, jeg vil ikke forlade jer, før at det kommer til at ske, som jeg har lovet jer.
That's why I say faith is not blind.
Og derfor siger jeg, at tro er ikke blind.
We believe in a God.
Vi tror på en Gud.
Who gave a word.
Som har givet et ord.
And who will keep his
og som
word.
Vil holde sit ord.
That is faith.
Det er tro.
So Jacob. Then God changed Jacob's name to Israel.
Så skete det, at Gud forandrede Jakobs navn til Israel.
And the reason he gave him that name.
Og grunden til, at han gav ham det navn.
He says, because you have struggled with God and men, and you have prevailed.
Var fordi du har kæmpet med Gud og mennesker, og du har vundet sejr.
In a way, Jacob, like he almost earned the name Israel.
Det var sådan, at Jakob faktisk fortjente ordet navnet Israel.
Abraham was picked just one of many.
Abraham var en, som blev taget ud af mange.
But by the time it came to Jacob, Jacob had to prove certain things to God, for God to say, now you are going to be called Israel.
Men da vi så nåede hen til Jakob, så havde Jakob bevist, at han fortjente navnet Israel.
It's also like the people and the land got wrapped into one.
Det er også ligesom folket og landet, som Gud førte sammen.
So from saying the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the Bible began to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel.
Så fra at det var Abraham, Isaac og Jakob, så er det nu Abraham, Isaac og Israel. Israel.
So God chose the people and God chose the land.
Så Gud udvalgte folket og han udvalgte landet.
Why did he choose the people?
Hvorfor udvalgte han folket?
Because Jesus, that lamb that was slain from the beginning of the world, was going to come through this people.
Fordi Jesus, det lam, som var udvalgt før verdens grundvold blev lagt, skulle komme igennem det her folk.
There was a time in 2 Kings chapter 17 where Israel backslid from God.
Der var en gang i 2. Kongebog 17, hvor hele Israels folk, de faldt fra troen.
And God was angry, and it says God removed them from his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah alone.
Og Gud var vred, og han sagde, og der var ingen, som holdt sig til Gud uden Judas stamme.
Not because Judah did not backslide.
Og det var ikke fordi, at Juda ikke faldt fra troen.
All the tribes backslide.
Alle stammerne faldt fra.
But God preserved Judah.
Men Gud bevarede Juda.
In spite of Judah backsliding.
På trods af deres frafald.
In the same way that he takes care of all the Jews now, even though that many of them don't live according to his word.
På samme måde som han også tager sig af det jødiske folk nu, selvom de ikke lever efter hans ord.
He preserved Judah because God's reputation.
Han bevarede Juda på grund af Guds ry.
2 Timothy 2:13 says, when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful.
2. Timotheus 2:13 siger, at vi utro, forbliver han dog tro.
Faithful to what?
Tro imod hvad?
Faithful to his word.
Tro imod hans ord.
Remember he told Jacob, I will not leave you till I do everything I have said to you.
Husk, han sagde til Jakob, jeg vil ikke forlade dig før alt det er sket, som jeg har lovet dig.
In order to fulfill that word which he spoke to Jacob, God preserved Judah, even though Judah was backslidden.
Ligesom han havde talt til Jakob på samme måde, så bevarede Gud Judah, selvom han var en frafalden.
Because Jesus came through Judah's.
Fordi Jesus blev født igennem Judas stamme.
We read here, for this man, that is David, Judah's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior.
Apostlenes gerninger 13 læser vi om, for denne mands Judas sæd, ifølge løfterne har Gud oprejst for Israel en frelser, nemlig Jesus.
So we see up to this point, why did God choose the people?
Så vi ser ind til dette tidspunkt, hvorfor udvalgte Gud folket?
Because his son had to come through this people.
Fordi hans søn skulle komme ud fra dette folk.
And he was preparing these people.
Han var i gang med at forberede dette folk.
Preserving these people.
Og bevare dette folk.
So that lamb that was slain from the before the foundation of the world.
Sådan det lam, som blev slagtet før verdens grundvold.
Could come like baby Jesus.
Kunne komme som en baby Jesus.
Now we stop here, and then the next thing we will talk. Why did he choose the land?
Vi vil stoppe her, men senere vil vi så tale om, hvorfor udvalgte han lammet.
I'm stopping on time for coffee, but I'm not stopping. I'm not promising to stop on time for the end.
No. Vi holder en pause med kaffe, men jeg er ikke sikker, at jeg holder tidsplanen med, hvornår vi stopper helt.
How long do we have now for coffee? 20 minutes, you said? 15? Yeah. How long?
20-25 minutes pause.
20 minutes to talk and meet and drink, eat and drink. Yeah? Okay. God bless you. We'll see you in 20 minutes.
We'll see you in 20 minutes.
Jeg har en tendens at gå for hurtigt, fordi det er så meget, og det skal komme ud i en time, det er svært. Ja, okay. Så vi fortsætter. Okay, så fortsætter vi så.
Du snakker så fint dansk, du behøver ingen tolk.
Jeg siger, at jeg kan tale dansk, men jeg tror ikke at undervise eller prædike på dansk, fordi jeg har ikke lært at lytte til Helligånden igennem prædiken, fordi han taler med mig på engelsk. Okay, tak for Eva. Okay, so nu siger vi, no. Now we will talk about why did God choose the land.
Så vil vi tale om, hvorfor udvalgte Gud et land.
It's very interesting that there are so many scriptures where God calls Israel my land, my land, my land.
Der er rigtig mange steder i Bibelen, hvor det tales om Israel, mit land, mit land, mit land.
And I said, Lord, the whole earth belongs to you.
Hele jorden tilhører jeg dig.
Why do you keep saying Israel is my own possession?
Hvorfor bliver du ved med at sige, Israel er min egen ejendom?
Every land belongs to you.
Alle lande tilhører dig.
But there is a reason that he picked that particular land, and we're going to look at that now.
Men der er en grund til at det land, og det skal vi se på.
Let me ask you a question. Where was Jesus born?
Hvor blev Jesus født? Lad mig
høre. That land before the fountain.
Det land før verdens grundvold.
Where is Nazareth in Israel? Where did Jesus live?
Hvor levede Jesus?
Where did Jesus die?
Hvor døde Jesus?
Where did he rise?
Hvor opstod han?
Where will he come again?
Hvor vil han komme igen?
Where will he reign for 1,000 years when he comes again?
Hvor vil han regere i 1,000 år, når han kommer tilbage?
From Jerusalem in Israel.
Fra Jerusalem i Israel.
So God prepared the land.
Så Gud har forberedt landet.
He preserved the land.
Han har beholdt et land for sig selv.
Till his son comes back.
indtil hans søn kommer igen.
You know, many times we see in movies.
Mange gange så ser vi i film.
The bad guy and the good guy.
De gode mænd og de onde mænd.
And you see through a movie where if the bad guy and the good guy are having a fight in a particular place.
Og man ser at en god mand og en ond mand, de kæmper imod hinanden på et sted.
And the bad guy gives the good guy such a thrashing, he leaves him almost dead.
Og den onde fyr, han giver den gode mand sådan et slag, så han tror, han er død.
And he goes away thinking he's finished.
Og så går han derfra og tror, nu er det slut med ham.
But he comes back.
Og så kommer han tilbage.
And he goes and he gets recovered.
Og han kommer til hægterne.
And the movie ends with the good guy coming back.
Og filmen ender med, at den gode mand kommer tilbage.
Finding the bad guy.
Finder den onde mand.
And finding him in that same place.
Og finder ham på nøjagtigt det samme sted.
And killing him.
Og slår ham ihjel der.
That's the story of Jesus, you know.
Det er jo faktisk Jesus historie.
He came to Israel.
Han kom til Israel.
And all those things happened to him.
Og der skete en masse ting med ham.
And the devil thought he was finished.
Og djævlen troede han var færdig.
And the father said, my son will come back.
Og faderen sagde, he died. Min søn vil komme tilbage der, hvor han døde.
I like to think of it as that kind of like a movie style.
Ja, jeg kan godt lide at tænke på det som en slags film.
Because it's very exciting.
Fordi det er meget spændende.
Now, why does God choose call Israel His land? Because His son came there, and His son will come back there. We just saw went through this just now.
Hvorfor kalder Gud Israel sit land, fordi hans søn blev født der og kommer tilbage der?
Now, how does this relate to us?
Hvordan relaterer det så til os?
Our spiritual heritage.
Vores åndelige arv
is Jewish.
Er jødisk.
Jesus told the woman at the well,
Jesus,
salvation is of the Jews.
Jesus sagde til kvinden ved brønden, frelsen stammer fra jøderne.
Notice he didn't say for the Jews.
Han sagde at den stammer ikke, det er ikke for jøderne.
Yeah, but it's of the Jews.
Men det er fra jøderne.
Because he was a Jew.
Fordi han var jøde.
He said salvation comes from the Jews because I am a Jew and I'm going to bring salvation.
Fordi frelse stammer fra jøderne, fordi jeg er jøde og jeg kommer fra Israel.
Yes. Now Jesus's earthly ministry was only to the Jews.
Jesu jordiske tjeneste var kun for jøderne.
At one point he said, I was not sent to except to the lost sheep of the tribe of the tribes of Israel, house of Israel.
Han sagde i stedet, at jeg er kun sendt til de fortabte fra Israels stamme.
You know the story of that widow who came to him and asked him to heal her daughter, and he said, no, I'm called only to the Jews.
I husker jeg, at enken der kom til ham og ville have ham til at helbrede hans datter, og hvor han sagde, nej, jeg er kun kaldet til Israels børn.
And she said, even you know, give me a crumb of that.
Og sagde han, jamen, så bare giv mig nogle krummer.
The Syrophoenician woman.
Den samaritanske kvinde.
No, Syrophoenician. I don't know how you say it in Danish. Yeah, okay. So when she received a healing, Jesus gave extra out.
Da hun så blev helbredt, så gav Jesus noget ekstra.
But his earthly ministry as one human being on earth was only to the restricted area of the Jews.
Men hans jordiske tjeneste var kun til jøderne.
All the disciples were Jews.
Alle disciplerne var jøder.
The 12 whom he picked were the Jews.
De 12 som han valgte var jøder.
But in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but just before Jesus went up, the last words he said to them was,
men det sidste han sagde til dem i Apostlenes Gerninger 1:8, inden han forlod dem.
He said, now I chose you the Jews, now I want you to go out from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria and the ends of the earth.
Så sagde han til dem, jeg har udvalgt jer jøder, og nu vil jeg, at I skal gå herfra og så gå ud til hele Judæa, Samaria og helt ud til verdens ende.
So God's plan was salvation goes first comes to the Jews.
Så Guds plan er, at frelsen er først til jøderne.
And through the Jews to the whole world.
Og igennem jøderne så ud til hele verden.
And we see this in the book of Acts, chapter 1-9 is all about the Jews being saved.
Og i Apostlenes Gerninger 1-9, der handler det om kun at det er jøder der bliver frelst.
In chapter 10 we hear about Cornelius, the first Gentile who comes to faith.
I Apostlenes Gerninger 10 hører vi om den første hedning, Cornelius, som bliver frelst.
And right up till today,
Og derfra så lige indtil nu.
We have the acts of the Holy Spirit among the Gentiles. That's you and me.
Så har vi Helligåndens gerninger blandt hedninger, du og jeg.
So God's plan for the gospel was for the Jews and the Gentiles.
Så Guds plan med evangeliet, det var til jøderne og til hedningerne.
Remember he told Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, from your seed every nation of the earth will be blessed.
Husk, han sagde til Abraham, Isaac og Jakob, fra jeres sæd vil hele jordens folk blive velsignet.
Blessed with the good news of the gospel.
Velsignet med de gode nyheder fra evangeliet.
Now, in Christ there is no Jew and Gentile.
I Kristus er der hverken hedning eller jøde.
There is no Jew or Greek. There is no, when it says Greek, it means Gentile. Anyone who is not a Jew is considered a Gentile.
Der er ikke forskel på jøder eller grækere. Grækere er jo hedninger. Der er ikke forskel på jøder eller hedninger.
We are Jews and Gentiles become one in Christ.
Vi er jøder og hedninger, som bliver ét i Kristus.
And if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed.
Og hvis vi er i Kristus, så er vi Abrahams sæd.
Think about that.
Tænk på det.
I heard one Jewish man saying.
Jeg hørte engang en jøde, som sagde.
I don't know why everyone wants to be a Jew.
Jeg ved ikke hvorfor alle de gerne vil være jøder.
We have more than enough of Jews.
Vi har mere end rigeligt mange jøder.
And we Jews have more than enough of our own problems.
Og vi jøder, vi har rigeligt mange problemer.
But the Bible tells us.
Men Bibelen siger os.
You and I.
I og os.
Because we are in Christ.
Fordi vi er i Kristus.
We are Abraham's seed.
Så er vi Abrahams sæd.
Spiritually we are Jews.
Åndeligt set er vi jøder.
God doesn't call us Jews. He calls us Abraham's seed because he began the story with Abraham.
Gud kalder os ikke jøder, han kalder os Abrahams sæd, fordi han begyndte historien med Abraham.
You and I are included in Abraham's seed.
Og I og jeg er inkluderet i Abrahams sæd.
Now think about the Jews.
Tænk på jøderne.
The Bible says that in Christ there is no circumcision or uncircumcision. Again, no Jew and Gentile.
Bibelen siger, at i Kristus så er der ikke nogen, som er omskåren eller uomskåren. Alle er vi ét.
But in Christ, as many as walk in Christ, they become the Israel of God.
Men i Kristus, alle som vandrer i Kristus, de bliver Guds Israel.
Now think about this. The Gentiles are all over the world.
Hedninger er over hele verden.
Among the Gentiles, there are people who believe in Christ.
Blandt hedningerne, der er der mennesker, som tror på Kristus.
And there are the others who don't.
Og så er der nogen, som ikke gør.
These are called the seed of Abraham.
Disse kaldes Abrahams sæd.
There are Jews all over the world.
Der er også jøder over hele verden.
There are Jews who believe in Christ.
Der er jøder, som tror på Kristus.
And there are Jews who don't believe in Christ.
Og der er jøder, som ikke tror på Kristus.
I've met Jews who don't even believe in any God.
Der er også jøder, som slet ikke tror på nogen gud.
So according to the Bible,
så ifølge Bibelen,
only the Jews who are in Christ are called the Israel of God.
Er det kun de jøder, som er i Kristus, der kan kalde sig Guds Israel?
So what happens?
Hvad sker så?
The Gentiles in Christ,
de er hedningerne i Kristus,
and the Jews in Christ,
og jøderne i Kristus,
come together.
De kommer sammen.
We read about this in Romans chapters 9 to 11.
Vi læser om det i Romerne 9-11.
Especially Romans 11:17 tells us about the branches and the root.
Særligt i Romerne 11:17 tales der om grenen og rødden og roden.
So we the Gentiles are likened to the branches who were put into the olive tree.
Så vi hedninger, vi sammenlignes med grene, som blev podet ind. Som grene på træet.
Some of the branches were taken out.
Nogle af grenene blev taget af, skåret af.
In John chapter 15.
I Johannes 15.
Jesus said, the branches that don't bear fruit will be taken out.
Sagde Jesus, de grene, som ikke bærer frugt, de bliver skåret af.
He was talking to Jews.
Han talte til jøder.
The Jews who don't bear fruit for the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be taken out of that olive tree.
De jøder,
and we
som ikke,
get put in.
De jøder, som ikke bærer frugt for Jesus Kristus, de bliver skåret af, træet, og vi kommer ind i deres
when
sted.
When we come in, we receive the life from the root of the tree.
Når vi kommer ind, så modtager vi liv fra roden på træet.
Think about this.
Tænk på det.
A tree needs the roots and the branches.
Et træ har både brug for roden og for grene.
Branches without a root are dead.
Grene uden en rod er døde.
Root without branches is only a stump.
En rod uden grene, det er bare en stump.
It may be alive.
Det kan godt være, at den er levende.
But there is no manifestation of life.
Men der er ikke nogen manifestation af liv.
For manifestation of life, there must be the branches so that the fruit can come or the flowers can
come.
For at
der kan være manifestation af liv, så må der være grene, hvorpå frugten kan komme.
So the root and the branches make up the tree.
Så roden og grenene, de udgør et træ.
And that's what our Jesus did.
Og det er det, vores Jesus gjorde.
He was the brobygger.
Han var brobygger.
He built the bridge.
Han byggede broen.
That eternal plan from before the foundation of the world that the Father had.
Og den evige plan, som faderen havde fra begyndelsen.
My Jesus came to the cross.
Kom min Jesus til korset.
And he found the Jews and brought them to himself.
Og han
He found the Jews.
Han fandt jøderne og førte dem til sig selv.
And he found the Gentiles and brought them to himself.
Og han fandt hedningerne og førte dem
and
til sig selv.
And they formed the Church of Jesus Christ.
Og de udgjorde så Jesu Kristi kirke.
When God talks about Israel now.
Når Gud taler om Israel nu.
He talks about the Israel of God.
Så taler han om Guds Israel.
The Jews who are in Christ.
Jøderne, som er i Kristus.
Just like God loves the whole world.
Ligesom Gud elsker hele verden.
He gave his son for the whole world.
Og han gav sin søn for hele verden.
But only those who believe will have everlasting life.
Men kun den, som tror, får evigt liv.
You know, very sadly, we forget to talk about John 3:17.
Sørgeligt nok, så glemmer vi at tale om Johannes 3:17.
We end at whoever believes will be saved.
Vi slutter med det der, at den som tror bliver frelst.
These are Jesus' own words.
Det er Jesu egne ord.
It continues to say, and whoever does not believe will be damned.
Men det fortsætter med at sige, at den som ikke tror vil blive fordømt.
The entire thing is the gospel.
Og hele den sandhed er jo evangeliet.
Not only the first part.
Ikke kun første del.
In the same way.
På samme måde.
God loves the whole of Israel.
Så elsker Gud hele Israel.
But only those who believe in Jesus.
Men kun dem som tror på Jesus.
Will have eternal life.
Vil få evigt liv.
And those who do not believe.
Dem som ikke tror.
Will be damned.
Vil blive fordømt.
I have heard people talk about all Israel will be saved.
Jeg har hørt nogen sige hele Israel skal blive frelst.
And they say every person in Israel must be saved and then Jesus will come.
De siger alle i Israel vil blive frelst og så kommer Jesus.
That is not what the Bible says.
Det er ikke hvad Bibelen siger.
Yes, the Bible does say all Israel will be saved.
Ja, Bibelen siger hele Israel skal blive frelst.
But I want you to think of King Solomon.
Men tænk på kong Salomon.
Solomon was such a wise man.
Salomon var en meget vis mand.
There was no one wiser than him.
Der var ingen visere end ham.
And the Bible says that all the world came to see Solomon and experience his wisdom.
Og Bibelen siger, at mange mennesker fra verden kom til Salomon for at lære af ham.
Does it mean that every single person from the entire world came to see Solomon and experience his wisdom?
Det betyder vel ikke, at alle i hele verden kom for at opleve hans visdom.
It means that those who wanted to know about Solomon and his wisdom, they came.
Det betyder, at alle dem, som gerne ville høre om Salomons visdom, de kom for at høre.
It's the same expression when it says all Israel will be saved.
Det er samme udtryk, når man siger, at hele Israel skal blive frelst.
All those who are drawn to Jesus and open their hearts and use their decision to say, yes, you are my Messiah, they will be saved.
Alle, som beslutter, at de vil komme til Jesus og sige, ja, du er min Messias, de bliver frelst.
So, God's eternal plan for mankind.
Så Guds evige plan for menneskeheden.
Which began before the foundation of the world.
Som begyndte før verdens grund var belagt.
Was fulfilled in Jesus as a person.
Blev opfyldt i Jesus som person.
He became the seed.
Han blev sæden.
By which all nations will be blessed.
Hvor igennem alle verdens nationer vil blive velsignet.
Christianity is around the whole world.
Kristendom er i hele verden.
There's one third of the world that belongs to Christianity.
En tredjedel af verden er kristen.
Let God judge if they are real believers or what. That's not my business.
Lad Gud afgøre, hvem der er sande troende eller ej. Det vedrører ikke mig.
Jesus said if they are not against me, they are for me.
Jesus sagde, hvis ikke de er for mig, imod mig, så er de for mig.
So I'm not going to judge anyone's.
Så jeg skal ikke dømme nogen.
True Christianity.
Deres sande tro.
But that seed became a blessing to every nation
men,
of the world.
Men den sæd blev en velsignelse for hele verden.
Should we stop here for coffee or?
Stop her nu.
Yeah. Okay. We can also finish and have coffee.
Yeah.
Shall we have coffee now?
Skal vi have kaffe nu?
Shout loud if you want coffee
yes,
now.
Thank you.
Okay. Coffee now. Vi var mere end halvvejs, så vi har lidt tilbage, ikke for meget. Ja.
Vi har lidt tilbage.
Thank you. So we talk so much about the Jews and the Gentiles.
Vi har talt meget om jøderne og hedningerne.
When you look at the story of the two sons that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15.
Hvis vi ser på de to sønner som Jesus talte om i Lukas kapitel 15.
Is it possible that those two sons were the Jews and the Gentiles?
Kunne det tænkes at de to sønner, det var et billede på jøderne og hedningerne?
The oldest son was always in the father's house.
Den ældste søn var opfostret i faderens hus.
And the younger went and came back and he was rebellious and he did all kinds of things.
Og den yngste gik derfra og gjorde mange oprørske ting.
And then he came back and his father took him in with open arms.
Og så kom han tilbage og hans far tog imod ham med åbne arme.
And the older son was so upset.
Og den ældste søn var vred.
You know, and it's kind of when I looked at that picture I thought that looks like the oldest son looks like, sorry to say, but looks like a little bit like the Jewish face.
Og når man ser på den ældste søn her, så ligner han jo lidt en jøde.
What do these Christians think? They can just come in without keeping the law and just jump into the father's arms?
Hvad er det med de her kristne? De tror, de kan bare komme til faderens favn, og så er alt okay.
You know, the Bible says that we ought to provoke them to jealousy.
Bibelen siger, at vi skal provokere dem til misundelse, med jalousi.
And that's exactly what happened over here.
Og det er det, som sker herovre.
The older son was so jealous.
Den ældste søn var meget jaloux.
Because this young guy came back to the father and it was like nothing happened between them.
For den yngste kom til faderen, og så var det som om, at der var ikke sket noget som helst dårligt imellem dem.
When I began to look at this from the perspective of Jew and Gentile.
Da jeg begyndte at se på den historie som med i perspektiv jøde og hedning.
It opened my eyes in a new way.
Så åbnede det mine øjne på en ny måde.
One father.
En far.
Two sons.
To sønner.
Both belong to the family.
Begge tilhørte familien.
Father has equal love to both.
Faderen havde lige meget kærlighed til begge.
But there's this big difference between them both.
Men der er den her store forskel mellem de to.
From the father's point of view, both are equally loved and accepted.
Fra faderens side så er begge to lige meget elsket og accepteret.
So read this parable again and try to say, Holy Spirit, show me this from this perspective of Jew and Gentile.
Så læs den her lignelse igen og bed Helligånden at vise dig hvordan at det her det kan tolkes ud fra det billede. De to sønner.
In the father's sight, they were totally equal.
I faderens øjne var fuldstændig jævnbyrdige.
But they were so different.
Men de var jo meget forskellige.
And it's very interesting. We see the same between Israel and the church.
Og det samme ser vi med Israel og menigheden.
If you look at these scriptures, both Israel and the church are called.
Hvis vi ser på nogle skriftsteder, så kan vi se, at både Israel og menigheden er kaldet.
Israel and the church are called holy.
Israel og menigheden bliver kaldt hellige.
Both are called beloved.
Begge bliver kaldt elskede.
Both are called the flock of God.
Begge bliver kaldt Guds flok.
Both are called a kingdom of priests.
Begge bliver kaldt et rige af præster.
Both are called a holy nation.
Og begge kaldes en hellig nation.
Both are called God's people.
Begge kaldes Guds folk.
And in Christ,
og i Kristus,
God marries both.
Ægtede eller giftede Kristus sig med dem.
It's so fantastic what comes out from the scripture.
Det er så fantastisk at se ud fra skriften.
This study has been such an amazing, beautiful journey for me.
Det her studie har været en utrolig fantastisk smuk vandring for mig.
Sorry. Today I was at my computer.
I dag sad ved computeren.
And Ova kept asking me, "Have you finished?"
And
have you finished? Ova kept asking me, have you finished? Are you prepared? Are you ready?
Og Ove, han er ved med at sige til mig, er du færdig nu? Er du helt klar?
And I said, no, the Holy Spirit keeps giving me these new things.
Nej, sagde Helligånden, bliver ved med at give mig nogle nye ting.
And we got into the car to drive here. I was like, through the car, I was so excited.
Og da vi tog afsted i bilen, så var jeg meget spændt og glad.
Because when you look at this story that comes out so beautifully,
fordi når man ser på de her historier, som bare er så smukke.
It's just amazing to see God's Israel and God's church.
Det er så fantastisk at se Guds Israel og Guds menighed, Guds kirke.
Now let's look at the church in Israel in the book of Revelation.
Lad os se på i Åbenbaringsbogen vedrørende Israel og menigheden.
The new Jerusalem is like the end of the road, right?
Det nye Jerusalem, det er ligesom enden på vores vandring.
The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Lammet, som blev slagtet før grundlaget.
Will live in the new Jerusalem.
Vil bo og leve i det nye Jerusalem.
And look at Israel in the new Jerusalem.
Og se på Israel i det nye Jerusalem.
The 12 gates are the 12 tribes of Israel.
De 12 porte er de 12 israelske stammer.
Look at the church in the New Jerusalem.
Se på menighederne i Åbenbaringsbogen.
The foundation of the church is the 12 apostles.
Grundstenene i byen er de 12 stammer.
Think about the beauty.
De 12 apostle.
The foundation is the 12 apostles. The gates are Israel. The foundation is the apostles.
Porten er så det.
The foundation, the gates are the tribes of Israel.
Porten er de 12 Israels stammer.
And the foundation.
Og grundvolden, grundsten.
Are the 12 apostles.
De 12 grundsten er de 12 apostler.
So both have equality in the New Jerusalem.
Så begge de 12 er jævnbyrdige i det nye Jerusalem.
Think about the tree.
Tænk på træet.
Without the roots, the branches can't.
Uden roden er der ikke nogen træer.
Without the branches,
er nogen grene.
Without the branches, the root can't.
Og uden grene er der heller ikke noget liv i roden. Begge er der brug for.
Both are needed for the tree to be complete.
Der er brug for begge dele for at der kan være et træ.
And in the new Jerusalem.
Og i det nye Jerusalem.
You need the foundation and you need the gates.
Har vi brug for grundstenene, grundvolden og portene.
You can't say one is more important than the other.
Man kan ikke sige at det ene er mere vigtigt end det andet.
And that's where it ends with.
Og det er der det hele det ender med.
In English we say and they all lived happily ever after.
På engelsk så siger vi og de levede lykkeligt til deres dages ende.
You have this beautiful tree of Israel and the church.
Vi har det her underlige smukke træ Israel og menigheden.
Come together in the new Jerusalem.
Der kommer sammen. Der kommer sammen i det nye Jerusalem.
When I did this, it answered my question why Israel.
Da jeg studerede det her, så svarede det på mit spørgsmål, hvorfor Israel?
When we know this story,
når vi kender denne historie,
Then we can answer people who say, why are you so crazy about Israel?
Så kan vi svare folk, som spørger, hvorfor er I så vilde med Israel?
Even among Christians.
Selv blandt kristne.
There are many people who don't take Israel seriously.
Er der mange, som ikke tager Israel særlig alvorligt?
There are many Jews who don't take Israel seriously.
Der er mange jøder, som ikke tager Israel særlig alvorligt.
But when we have a forsvar, a defense like this.
Men når vi har det her forsvar.
Then people have to see the point.
Så kan folk godt finde mening i det.
God's Israel is God's church.
Guds Israel er Guds kirke.
You cannot separate the two.
Du kan ikke adskille de to.
So we end with this.
Så vi ender med det.
I hope the story looks complete to you.
Jeg håber historien ser fuldendt ud for jer.
It looks complete to me.
Den ser fuldendt ud for mig.
And next time somebody asks you why Israel.
Og næste gang nogen spørger dig, hvorfor Israel?
You can string these pearls together.
Så kan du binde de her tråde sammen.
And give them an answer.
Og give dem et svar.
That they have nothing else to say.
Det kan de ikke sige noget modsvar til.
Thank you.
Tak.
I'd like you to keep me in prayer.
Jeg vil gerne, om I vil huske mig i bøn.
When you think about me, pray for me in tongues for 1 minute. That's all I ask.
I tænker på mig, bed i tunge for mig i 1 minut. Det beder jeg bare om.
I have the Pinsestævne speaking assignment. I really need prayer for that.
Jeg har brug for, når jeg skal tale i pinsen. Det har jeg brug for.
I always go into the pulpit trembling.
Jeg går altid op til talerstolen og med rysten og ryster lidt.
Because I never want to be my own voice.
Fordi jeg ønsker ikke, at det er min stemme, de skal høre.
I want to be an empty vessel for
jeg
Jesus.
Jeg ønsker at være et tomt kar for Jesus.
This shofar is a beautiful picture.
Denne shofar er et smukt billede.
It is a horn of a dead animal.
Det er et horn fra et dødt dyr.
It can't do anything.
Den kan ikke gøre noget.
Until a living breath goes through it.
Før der går en levende ånde igennem den.
It's empty.
Den er tom.
And it's clean.
Og den er ren.
And therefore it can be used.
Og derfor kan den bruges.
And this is a picture of my life.
Og det er et billede på mit liv.
So I'm going to blow the shofar.
Jeg vil blæse i den her shofar.
I may not be perfect, but I learned on YouTube how to blow the shofar.
Det er måske ikke helt perfekt, men jeg har lært fra YouTube hvordan det kan lyde.
But I want to blow a shofar as a victory call to Jesus.
Men jeg vil blæse i shofaren her som en sejr for Jesus.
When we blow the shofar.
Når vi blæser shofaren.
It is a sound of victory.
Er det en sejr.
To the spiritual realm.
Ud i den åndelige verden.
And the enemy knows.
Og fjenden ved.
That the breath of God brings life.
At Guds ånde bringer liv.